I want to share some scripture with you today and call your attention to a few verses from the last chapter of 2 Samuel. So if you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24, I want to begin a reading there today with verse 18. And read through the end of the chapter. One of these verses in here, you may remember just a few weeks back, Brother Wheat in Sunday school had made a point about this in his Sunday school lesson. But 2 Samuel chapter 24, beginning with verse 18, says, "And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked down and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him, and Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build the altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel." In these verses, and in the verses that led up to where I begin to read, David had sinned against God in that he had numbered the people of Israel. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against David for what he had done. And so David, knowing this and having acknowledged his sin, was going to make an offering, a sin offering to the Lord. And Araunah, or Ornan, as his name was recorded, I believe, in the Chronicles, he offered what David needed to make the sacrifice. He offered to give it to David. And David refused it because he said that he was not going to offer an offering, a burnt offering to the Lord that he had gotten for free. He was not going to offer something to the Lord that had not cost him anything. And the title of my message today will be, It's Going to Cost You. And I don't know that you will enjoy the sermon today, but you know, I remember a lot of times what the Apostle Paul said. He said, if I should seek to please men, then I should not be the servant of Christ. And I have heard in my life, I have heard sermons that I couldn't really say after they were preached that I enjoyed them, but I could say oftentimes that I appreciated them. God's Word, sometimes when God's Word begins to show us things and we begin to see ourselves, it's hard to enjoy it. But I thank God for His truth, and I thank Him for what it does in our hearts. I've told you before that when I was lost, that I felt really bad before the Lord made me feel really good. And so I want to ask you today to give attention to the Word of the Lord and to His truth. I want to talk about the facts today that if you're ever going to be saved by God's grace, and this may seem a strange statement to you at first, but I'll clarify to you what I'm saying. If you're ever going to be saved by God's grace, it's going to cost you. And if you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to truly live for the Lord after that you have been saved, it's going to cost you. There is a cost that's involved in both of these things. And I want to say first to you that are lost, I want you to understand that I am certainly not telling you today that you can buy salvation, because you can't do it. You cannot buy the gift of God, because there was a great price that was to be paid for our salvation, and only the Lord was able to pay that price. But what I mean by the fact that it will cost you is that there are things, and the Bible teaches us this very plainly, that there are things that we must give up in order to be saved. And I want to say that to you today, and to you that are here that are lost, I want you to know this, that salvation, the salvation of my soul, is the best thing that's ever happened to me in all of my life. And there were things that I had to let go of, because there were things that I was holding on to that were hindering me from finding the Lord. But I don't have one single regret today about anything that I let go. When the Lord saved my soul, it was so good and so peaceful and so pleasant that I never regretted anything that I had to let go of in order to have the salvation that the Lord has to give. And I promise you today, if you're here and you're lost, that if you will turn your heart to the Lord and you will truly seek Him for the salvation of your soul, and God speaks peace to your soul, you'll have no regrets about anything that God asks of you. But I'll tell you what I believe. And Brother Wheat this morning in the Sunday school lesson had already talked about some of the various things that are believed around us in the world today. And I believe that one of the great things that's wrong with religion today in general in this country is that people have gotten this idea that they can do service without sacrifice. That they can serve the Lord without giving up anything, without it costing them anything at all, and that is just not biblical Christianity. The Christianity, the beliefs of Christianity, Christianity is a system of belief that was purchased by the shedding of blood. The Lord suffered greatly in order for you and I today to have what we have. It was not easy for Him when He made the way of salvation. It was not easy for Him. And I'll tell you what, it's not easy today to be saved. The modern methods of evangelism today, they are commonly termed as easy believism. That's what it's called generally, easy believism. telling people that if they will just mentally accept the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world, that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins, that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and if you will just embrace those things in your mind and just decide within yourself to accept the Lord, that you'll be saved. But you know, one of the great problems with that, well, other than the fact that it's just not scriptural, it's just not what the Bible teaches about being saved, but another great problem with that is these people that are doing this by the thousands, that it's not costing them a thing to have that type of salvation. They don't have to give up anything. All they do is make a decision to accept the Lord, and that's as far as it goes. If we look in the Old Testament writings, we find that for hundreds of years under the law, that when the people there would bring an animal to make a sacrifice for sin, that God required of them that they bring to Him the very best that they had. They had to bring something to God that was valuable to them. They had to bring their firstlings of the flock. They had to bring an animal that was without spot and without blemish. They had to bring to God something that they themselves would have desired to keep. I've often thought that if we think about this in our day, many of you have lived on farms and grew up on farms, and I think that what God asked of them would be like asking the cattle farmer today to bring his very best, his prime stock, and give it to the Lord. The Lord didn't want anything that they didn't want. The Lord didn't want anything from them that they were just willing to discard. The Lord didn't want anything that meant nothing to them. He didn't want them to bring anything that they thought, well, I'll be better off without this anyway. And if you read in the first chapter of Malachi, you'll find out there that when they did those things, when they would bring to God an animal that was sick, or they would bring to Him an animal that was blind, or they would bring to Him an animal that was lame and try to use it as an offering, that God simply would not accept it. He wouldn't accept it. And I really believe that that is what David was making reference here to, that he was not willing. David was a man that had a lot of integrity. Yes, David sinned. Yes, David did things wrong in his life, but he had a lot of integrity in the way that he looked at the Lord and the things that had to do with the Lord. And so he was not going to bring to God something that had been given to him, something that didn't cost him anything, but he wanted to pay Aranua for that he was offering him, so that he could avoid doing that. And you know, God today is the same God. I want you to know today that we are serving the exact same God that David served in his day. We are serving the exact same God that once there gave the law to the children of Israel and told them that He was a jealous God and that He would not have any other gods before Him. And the God that we serve today, friends, I promise you, He still will not accept anything from us that is not the best that we have to give. If you don't understand what I'm saying about being saved, then let me try to explain it in this way. Let me use this example. There was a man that once came to Jesus. He was rich, he was young, and he came to Jesus and he said, "What good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, knowing the beliefs of this young man, he said, well, you know the law, keep it. And Jesus never was trying to teach him that he would be saved by keeping the law, but he was trying to show him in that he really hadn't even done what he said he had done. He said, which laws? And Jesus told him some laws specifically. And this young man said, well, I've done all of this. From my youth up, I have done all of this. What do I still lack? And Jesus said, well, you sell all that you have. If you will be perfect, you sell all that you have and you give it to the poor and you come and you follow me and you'll have treasures in heaven. Well, you know what? We learned there in that, we learned that that man really didn't want eternal life. Down in his heart, deep down in his soul, he really didn't want that. He wanted it as long as he thought that he could have it without it costing him anything, then he wanted it. What good thing can I do that I may inherit eternal life? But when Jesus told him that there was something, friend, that you're going to have to give up if you're going to have eternal life, then the Bible tells us that he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions, and those things that he possessed and those things that he owned meant more to him than having the peace of God in his heart. And he went away and he traded it for a few pieces of silver. What a sad story. Jesus taught this. He said, if any man will save his life, he's going to lose it. But if any man will lose his life, the same shall save it. And I told you earlier that when I got saved, there were things I had to give up, and there were. And I want you to know and understand this, that this young man, Jesus was not telling him, if he would have surrendered his heart to God, he could have physically kept everything that he had. But Jesus knew his heart. And friend, Jesus knows your heart. And you know, we might be able to put on a front and we might be able to make it look in the eyes of men like we're really surrendering. But listen, God knows your heart. God knows what's happening in your heart. And the Lord knew that in that young man's heart that he was not willing to let those things go. If he would have surrendered those things in his heart, I'm convinced that Jesus would have saved him right then and there. Because Jesus doesn't want our silver. I mean, he doesn't need that. He wants us to give to him, certainly. But he doesn't want us to try to trade our silver for salvation. The things that hinder you from seeking the Lord can be many things. But you know, before I got saved, I had to give up my pride. I had to let it go. I was proud. There were things that I was proud about in my heart, and I had to let it go. There were things, as I said, in my life that were hindering me from seeking the Lord, and I had to be willing to let those things go. I used to think, you know, I would listen to the devil, and I was a young person that loved to have fun and all sorts of things, and I would listen to the devil, and I would listen to the lies that he would tell me about how that, you know, if you get saved and you become a Christian, you're going to have to get different friends, and your friends aren't going to like you anymore. And I would listen to those things. But let me tell you something. Before the Lord saved my soul, I had to be willing in my heart to let all of that go, to let my friends go, to let the things that I thought were so important to me. It cost me something. I had to give it up in order to allow the Lord to have his way in my heart. And I said that it's not easy to be saved, and I want to tell you what I mean by that. It's no problem for the Lord to save us. It's easy for him to save us, but it's hard for us to give it up. In fact, if we didn't have the help of the Lord, we never would do it. Because the Bible says in the third chapter of John that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. You know what? We are born into this world of a sinful nature, and we grow up that way, and we love sin rather than righteousness. We have a greater love for the darkness rather than we do the light. And that's why that salvation is such a supernatural experience, because friends, it takes the power of God to turn us from the darkness to the light. You can't turn yourself. Sinner, if you're trying to save yourself, you need to give it up, because you're never going to be successful in that. It is not our nature to turn away from sin. In fact, it is against our nature to turn from sin. We love it. We love the darkness. We love that more than we love the light. And only the light of the Lord can turn us from darkness. Only the grace of God and the power of God can turn us from darkness to the light. Only God can give us repentance. The goodness of God, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We can't do it by ourselves. It would be against our nature to do that, because in repentance, we turn from our sins and we turn towards God, and we're not going to do that without God drawing us and leading us to repentance. Because we have the nature of sin and we have the nature to love it. You won't hear that in the modern type of preaching. They believe you can just turn yourself, reform yourself. You can reform yourself right into hell is what you can do. It seems that more and more, and I want to say this to those of us today who are saved. We are taught, and you've heard me speak about this, perhaps until you're tired of hearing it, but our country today is experiencing this teaching, I mean in great volume. That religion is all about us. That Christianity is all about us. It's about what we might profit from it. It's about what we might get from it. But listen, I'll tell you what the Bible truly teaches. The Bible teaches me that when we have done all that is commanded of us, that we are to say that we are still unprofitable servants. It's not about us. It's not about our gain. It's about the Lord, and it's about His cause and the advancement of His kingdom. And if you're in it for yourself, you're in it for the wrong purpose. Should we expect blessings from the Lord? Yes. Yes, the Lord will bless us. The Lord will bless us far beyond what we deserve. Listen, the Lord has blessed me in my life far beyond what I could have ever merited. And He does that. But you know, God taught this in the Old Testament. Jesus was teaching it when He came into the world. You look in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and you'll find there that there was a man that came to Jesus, and he said, "Master, I will follow you wherever you go." And the Lord turned to him and he said, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." What was Jesus saying unto that man? Okay, that's fine. If you want to come and follow me wherever you go, then you come on and you follow me. But I want you to know that it's not going to be a life of great comfort. It's going to be a life of sacrifice, because sometimes the foxes and the birds are doing better than I'm doing. At least they've got a place to lay down. The foxes have a den. The birds of the air have nests. I believe Jesus spent a time in His life when we would have classified Him as being homeless. The Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. He was traveling around from place to place. He had no permanent dwelling place here on the earth, and that's the way that he was living. And there was another man that came to Jesus with the same desire. He wanted to follow Jesus, but there was something else that he wanted to do first. And so he said, let me first go and bury my father. Let me take care of this first. Lord, I want to go with you. I want to follow you, but I got something else that I need to do. Let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said, no, you let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. Well, what was he teaching us there? Was Jesus saying that it's wrong to go to your father's funeral? Of course not. He was teaching us that he demands to be first in everything in our lives. Do you know he won't accept anything else? The Lord will not accept anything else from us. There will be a cost to be paid if you really want to serve the Lord. If you really want to honor the Lord with your life, there's a certain way that you're going to have to live your life. God won't take what's left. God will not accept leftovers from us. You've heard the saying, no doubt, give God what is right, not what's left. Give unto God what is due unto him. We are not to take the things that don't mean anything to us anyway and try to pawn them off on the Lord. And that's what David wasn't willing to do. David was, his attitude about it was, if I'm going to make an offering to the Lord, I'm going to be certain that it cost me something. What a right attitude. Give to the Lord that which is due unto his name. I remember when I owned my call to preach, I didn't even realize what would be involved. When I stood up there that night in towards the end of the winter in 1981 on that Sunday evening service, when I stood up at my home church there in Indianapolis and told them about my call to preach, I didn't even realize at that time what would be involved in it. My wife and I had bought a little house. We had bought our first house together, and we had begun to work together, and we had begun to fix it and make it what we wanted it to be. And I got called into the ministry, and after we had owned that house for a couple of years, I had to go to her one night, and I had to tell her that we've got to sell it, we've got to leave it behind, because the Lord has called me to a work, and we've got to go. And there have been several times through the years that I have face that very thing. If I was going to do what the Lord expected of me in the ministry, if I was going to follow his lead and be in the place that he wanted me to be, I knew that I was going to have to leave things behind. I'm going to tell you the truth today. I miss my kids. I miss my children. I miss my grandchildren. I wish I could be with them. I wish I could see them more often. I wish we didn't have to live so far apart, but you know what? I want to serve the Lord. There are sacrifices to be made in service. You may not have to make the same ones as me. And no doubt, the life of a preacher is going to be different from the life of someone that's not a preacher. I understand that. I'm the first one to acknowledge that. But I want to do say this, that I believe that everybody that will truly serve the Lord is going to have sacrifices that you're going to have to make if you're really going to please the Lord in your life. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, and he said, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. What was he saying there? If you want to serve the Lord, you got to give yourself to him. I'll tell you what, God's not happy. I said you may not enjoy this, but I want you to know the truth. God is not happy with his people. God is not happy when we allow the things in our life to take us away from the Lord for weeks at a time, and then we come and we try to serve him in 1 week, and then the next thing you know, we're out there doing the things of the world again. God's not happy with that type of life from his people. I promise you, he's not, because he's a jealous God. And he wants and demands to be first in our lives. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want you to know something today, that in the things that I said, and I want this to be well known, if nothing else gets across in this today, I want this to be well known. In the things that I said concerning my own ministry, and I have great respect for the people that have gone out and have left behind family and friends to go out and to serve the Lord. I have great respect for the pastors that have done that. I have great respect for the missionaries that have done that, that have gone out, that have left behind familiar surroundings and gone out into places in order to take the gospel to the people. I just heard recently someone talking about Brother James Keene when we were up in Alaska. He was talking about an account in history that he had read where these two men, in order to get among this tribe of people, these men had sold themselves into slavery in order to take the gospel to those people. Can you imagine the sacrifice? Sold themselves as slaves in order to be among those people to preach the gospel to them. I've got great respect for them. For people, I've got great respect for the people down through the years that gave up their lives in order to preserve what you and I are still hearing today. Great respect for them. But when it comes to giving praise, there was one that really made the sacrifice. It's okay if you want to respect the preachers, the missionaries, or anybody else as far as that goes that has made sacrifices for the Lord, but if you want to praise, you praise Jesus. He's the one that really made the sacrifice. Jesus was in heaven. He was there with his heavenly Father. He was there enjoying all the comforts of that land, and he gave it all up. He left it all behind, and he came down into this world, and he walked among men, and oh my goodness, how he suffered. He suffered more than any of us are ever going to suffer. But he gave up all that glory and that splendor to come down here for what? For a cross. To come down here to be mistreated, to come down here to be beaten, to come down here to be crucified, and to suffer so many things so that you and I could be saved. Don't you ever praise men. You praise the Lord. He's the one that really gave it up. And he is the founder of Christianity. And it started with a suffering person. I mean, he really suffered. He really made great sacrifice in order for you and I to be saved. We ought to be willing to sacrifice and do what he asks of us in order for other people to hear the gospel. You know, I've heard missionary Baptist people all my life. They have argued. I've been hearing this ever since I was a young person. People arguing how the Bible even teaches us to give monetarily. The Bible doesn't really teach us to tithe. The Bible doesn't really teach us that God wants us to give a tenth of our wages. But I'll tell you what I honestly believe. I believe that most of the time it's argued is because they don't want to do it. It's not so much a scriptural argument. They just don't want to do it. Don't want to give up things to the Lord. We want to keep things, don't we? We do. Our time, our resources, we want to hold back. You know, in the early church, we've got the example there with Ananias and Sapphira. It was so important that they came in there and they lied about how much they had sold that land for, and the Lord just struck them dead for what they had done. He expects us to give our lives to Him. Our time, our resources, our energy, to turn our lives over to the Lord, to make the sacrifice, to serve Him, and to honor Him with our lives. And He won't accept anything except the best that we bring to Him. You do everything else you want to do, and if you have anything left over, you give it to the Lord, I promise you, God won't be pleased with it, and He won't accept it. Honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And friends, that's not just money. The first fruits of all thine increase. I mean, everything that we have, we need to honor the Lord first. Our time, our service, God needs to be first in our lives in order to be pleased. Those are the things that the Lord gave to me today to give to you. It will cost you. You know, and I think that we've seen this in many cases. Sometimes people get saved. They set out with a great zeal to serve the Lord. And the next thing you know, they're gone. You know why that happens? They found out the cost. They found out, well, it's going to cost me. If I'm going to do this, you know, if I'm going to be in church on Sunday, there's something else I'm going to have to give up. I'm going to have to give up my fun out on the water or whatever the case is. I'm going to have to make a sacrifice in order to be where the Lord wants me to be. And they're gone. If you're not willing to pay the cost, you're not going to be able to serve the Lord. Because He's going to require things of every one of His children. He does require things of us. And there's a cost involved in serving the Lord. I'd like for us, if we could, to have a song. I appreciate your attention. As I said, this is my message. These are the things and the thoughts the Lord gave to me. And I hope and pray that they have been a help to somebody in some way. Let's stand and sing.
Number 364 at the top. When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will He find us watching. with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?
I appreciate your attention today. I hope that something that's been said will help you in some way. I appreciate Brother Mike Wheat preaching last Sunday. Want him to know that. Been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank God for the privilege of being here. Remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother Alonde be here to preach, Lord willing. Bless you, Brother Wiley, and we're glad to have you back.
Amen.
Anything else on anybody's heart before we dismiss? Brother Lowe, would you please pray the benediction?